Hi friends, I'm Jillian, the host of Teach Me How to Adult, a podcast on all the things you never learned growing up. Between landing your dream job, crushing your love life, learning to invest, mastering your mindset, and figuring out how to be happy along the way, there's a lot to navigate. I've learned firsthand that there's more than one way to adult, and it's not always linear. So consider this show my love letter to taking the unconventional route, creating new milestones, and carving out your own version of success. You're right where you should be. So join me every week as I call in the experts for unfiltered, game-changing advice on how we can all live our best lives. Adulting isn't easy, but we got you. Hi, friends. I hope you are all doing great and having a magical, magical day. And we are going to have a magical episode today because I am joined today by my dear friend, Sophia. She is one of the most magical souls, truly, that I've ever met. She has changed my life from the minute that she came into it. And I'm just really, really grateful to know her. She is such a special person. We're going to talk all about finding the humanity in the world, finding the magic in the world, because this is what Sophia is very gifted at. She's a creative, a producer, a talent manager, a master baker.
Ooh.
Not to be confused with masturbator. She is a free spirit who has really carved out her own unconventional path. She's lived across multiple countries. She has enough tales to warrant her own podcast, but we'll get there. We'll get there one day. And I'm also fortunate enough to work with Sophia. She manages the spoken word artist NQ that I also get to work with and run social media for. So we get to frolic around the world.
We get to frolic around the world. Yikes. It's true. Work with people that you love. It makes such a stellar difference.
100%. You're good at that. You do surround yourself with people and create a group of people that you genuinely want to spend time with. What a difference it makes.
Absolutely. It's definitely part of my story. And after working with people that I didn't resonate with, I kind of made this like delusional. It's like the DeLulu state. I love the DeLulu trend.
I love the DeLulu trend.
That is so accurate of how I function. But I kind of made this promise to myself. I was like, I'm not going to tolerate people that I just don't feel good around. And that's become a big thing to me. And of course, everything in measure, like you can't, there's so much you can control. I go out into the world. I can't just be like, I don't like you. Get out of my way. No. But in terms of who you're, it's like, it's curation, right? It's like, I had read this article that was saying it's in the same way that a company hires people in. It's like, become an architect of your life. What kind of energy do you want in your life? What kind of people do you want around you? I want to feel like I can fully be myself, that I can like show up in the world the way that I want on any given day. I have room to have hard conversations and also fun conversations, right?
And you're really good at setting boundaries around things as well. I've learned a lot from you about how I'm just so conflict adverse that I feel like if there has to be a difficult conversation, it is so scary. It is so stressful. And I've seen with you how it can be like such a loving invitation to know someone better and understand them and like create an environment that feels good for everybody. And so I'm learning to do this, but to notice who you feel comfortable doing that with and not is a good gauge of who do I want to work with. 100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like in honor of the Oscars today, it's like you are the director of your life.
Yeah.
Who you're going to fucking cast.
Exactly. If we're gonna
do you want your co-stars to be assholes?
Exactly.
No.
This whole main character energy thing, like I actually both love it and hate it. I think it's really wonderful. And my therapist actually last week, she asked me something. We were talking about whatever. And she goes, okay, if you were watching a movie right now, what next move or shift would you do? And I was like, it's so true. It's such a powerful tool. Like if you step outside of yourself for a second and you observe, suddenly things take a different lens. So it's, you know, we live in LA. Last time we'd gone to this event and it's like big names and big YouTubers, and blah, blah. It was one of those rooms in which like, say hi. So literally I'm like weaving around these groups of people. And after like 8 laps, I kind of was like, oh, okay. I haven't been able to hook in with anybody. I tried. I don't feel good in this space. Great people that have done things that I really admire and look up to. And I don't feel good in this space. And so I left. And I don't know. I feel like when I'm out in the wild world, like I pay attention. And if there's somebody that particularly stands out to me, it's like, again, you're watching a movie and you know, you see a face and you're like, that person's going to become a recurring character. I don't quite know why.
Yes.
And like, following that curiosity, following that ease, oftentimes leads me to great humans. And then I just bundle them together and I go, hey, come to my house, let's have food.
And this happens all the time. And I get to benefit from it. And it's fucking amazing. This specific point I want to talk more about because I think you see a lot of magic in people and you bring them together and create these magical communities. And everyone who joins them feels the same way. I walked into the existing community that you had here and was like,
I feel like I'm home. I feel like I'm around people that I have waited my whole life to connect with. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really beautiful. And I've seen in some of your writing that for you, that starts often with acting like a toddler. And I love that because I think I have gone through life, especially in Toronto, being like, I don't know how to meet people. Mm-hmm. I used to meet people at work, but now I work from home. Mm-hmm. We used to have these very structured environments where it was easy to interact with people. So now I go to coffee shops or I go to like cold plunges. I do things and I don't know how to approach people and I feel awkward and I'm like scared of rejection. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And your approach is literally that of, hey, I'm curious about you. You know, I'd love to know more. I'm a toddler in a playground and I'm just going to go up and ask a bunch of questions. And that's such a great way to approach meeting people.
Thank you. That's so sweet. And I think the biggest, like the first rule of being a toddler in life is like, don't take yourself seriously.
Yeah.
I've said dumb shit to people. I've been awkward. And there's a certain also like, there's a practice of at some point, you know, you'll be like, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? Practice getting to know who you are and being comfortable with who you are. Mm. And oftentimes we put up so many barriers. The hitchhiking trip, like I did a trip hitchhiking after leaving the corporate world. And that was the first like, talk about cold plunge.
Yeah.
I was in a very like contained version of myself in a corporate world. And I suddenly had to be on the street sticking my thumb out. Like, yeah. So.
And sorry to back up. Sophia hitchhiked across Europe learning how to bake pastries.
Traditional cake recipes.
Exactly. In all of the major towns,
yeah, cities or countries. We did 22. We did a lot of countries, and it's terrifying too. So I give so much grace to anybody that has social anxiety. Which it's interesting. Like whenever people reflect back to me, my ability to talk to strangers and that, there's a part of me like internally that's like, I have social anxiety too. Like I,
do you?
Yeah, big time. But that's the thing, that not
so good
myself,
at like just going
I
out
just
there. Sit, anyways.
I just look at myself and I go, you know what? I don't care. Also, most places have food. Find the food table.
Yeah.
The way food has bridged so many relationships in my life, just go to the buffet, I'll start snacking, and if somebody comes up, I'll like make a comment about what they chose or I'll ask them something. And I think like...
That's a good life hack.
Pay attention to things that draw your curiosity and then just like send... It's like almost you're casting a little line. And if the person picks up, great. If they judge me, I'm like, that's probably a good discernment that I don't really want to be necessarily your friend.
Yeah.
Nothing cliche here. Like, notice the fear, go beyond it.
Yeah.
Right?
Often, because I've met so many of Sophia's amazing friends out here, and I'm like, how did you meet this person? It'll be like, I met them in the chiropractor's office. I don't fucking talk to people when I go to the chiropractor's office. So,
Chantel, that's literally how I mentioned
it. I know. I remember you saying that, and it really stuck with me because I feel so isolated so often in my life. And I'm like, well, I'm just not in all of these environments where I can meet all of these people. But like, I go to the chiropractor.
Yeah.
I go to the supermarket. So the openness to any environment that you're in and then like casting out that net or that first offering, that first bid is really magical. And I think if the thesis of this episode were about finding the trust and the magic in people and allowing it to unravel and create more moments of magic and connection, the perfect example in this essay would be the trust that you had in going across Europe and hitchhiking, which is a very scary thing to do. But I see how you see the good in people.
The formula, if I like that, my science brain's coming out. Careful. if the thesis is, you know, finding the good, finding the magic, when you're gathering your, like the formula, right? Whether it's a formula, or I'm going to go into a recipe metaphor here. Like A, there's humans everywhere. We're having a human experience.
Yeah.
And like that's, I have a Moroccan dad. And the one thing he's taught me as like an immigrant father is that there's no such thing as a system. It's always people. Mm. My dad would go into a bank without his ID, without his credit card. And he'd be like, hi, I want access to my accounts. And they'd be like, sir, you can't do that. Where's your ID? He's like, I don't have it. And the way he would insist to talk to a manager.
That's where you got it from.
Representative.
It'll be the automated machine. Representative.
I'm just screaming representative. So again, the main ingredient is like, there are humans everywhere. To me, the magic is in kind of like the randomness of who's going to be around me at any given time and how can I interact with them. And again, the hitchhiking thing, it was like a quest. At the beginning, the terror was... We are two young girls with 800 euros to our name.
Right.
Combined. And I do think there is a muscle. I think that resilience and trust and faith and gratitude and all these things, like I do believe in my core that it's a muscle. There's a training to it.
It is, yeah.
The more I practice gratitude, no shit, the more I feel like I have stuff and and blessings in my life. The more I practice talking to strangers, the more I'm like, oh, it's going to just be easier.
The more you have friends, truly.
Exactly.
It's just like the next evolution of, yeah.
And so with the hitchhiking, we were definitely completely in, we had no idea. Every single moment or hour, you know, when you're waiting on the side for a car, you don't know where you're going to sleep. It's kind of like it anchors you down to the reality that like there is only this moment. And every single moment, it's like watching a movie. You're like, what's going to happen? And you're also co-creating the movie. Even in like today, when I get stressed or with a problem, a lot of my like self-regulation will just be like, okay, I'll literally cross that bridge when I get there.
Yeah, you're good at that. My anxious brain is immediately like, what are the next 10 things that can go wrong? And I just stress about them. And you are very good at being like, what is the step right in front of me? I'm going to deal with that. And then I'll deal with the next step. And then the next step. And I'll like lay out a few reasonable like possibilities and we'll tackle them.
My brain does that list too. So it's always that yes and. It's like, yes, and I am literally, you know, planning for the worst case scenario. And also in this current moment, what's reality? It's like the difference between a fact and a fear is very important to me.
Yes.
And I have, and that is an ongoing practice. And I think that it will always be a practice for me. I can notice that and then just let it be and be present to the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think a great tool for that practice is meditation.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're in Venice,
You've got
California.
A great meditation practice.
Some fad words, you know. but yeah, meditation for me, even when I started, it was, this was... when I was at the ashram in Montreal, and I remember being like, I need to do it right, right? I'm not doing meditation the right way. And it, the way I personally practice is just literally paying attention to the thoughts.
Yeah.
Just that's it.
As opposed to trying to erase them completely,
as
which I think
to trying to find...
is a misunderstood notion of meditating. I really like to either meditate on an idea or on something or noticing thoughts or visualizing.
Yeah.
I really love a visualization meditation.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to battle with my brain to turn it off. And I don't think that needs to be the purpose of it.
And that's interesting that you say that, because it makes me think of like, in terms of anxiety, you know, it's like, yeah, it can really go wrong, but what if it goes right? You know, the recurring joke with my friend group here in LA is the cars. How many cars do I have sitting outside?
Okay.
Right now? Four.
So Sophia didn't have a car. LA is a place where you need to have a car. She's like, I don't have a car. I'm not going to get a car, but I need cars. And so you were manifesting cars.
Okay, 2019, I'm in LA. I am broke, like broke, right? Going day by day. And I remember sitting in this kitchen going like, I do not have capacity to handle transport right now. Like I'm already focusing on how do I find last minute gigs? How do I get a home? How do I still show up within the budding friendships in this like crazy city that LA is? I was living in a house where one of the roommates, he had told me about his girlfriend. She's an angel. This girl walks in, big ball of light. And I remember she lived in Venice. So we start small chatting and I go, hey, just random question. Are you going to Venice tomorrow? Because I would spend time at this place called the Good Work House, which was a house of like content creators. Mm-hmm. And I needed to go the next day. And she's like, no, actually, I'm not going. But like, do you need a car? And I was like, well, yeah, and but I'll take the bike or something. And she's like, no, just take my car. And so she hands me a pair of keys.
That is
now,
so
mind
nice.
You, I can't pay her.
Yeah.
So in my head, I'm like, she's like telling me use it. And I was like just for the day. She's like, no, literally take my car. I just bought a new Jeep today. So I have my old car here and you can just use it. And I was like, oh,
what?
Well, I want to talk to you about like, and she's like, no, you don't need to pay me anything. Just take the car, use it as long as you need. We have spoken 12 minutes at this point.
This is insane.
And
this
I'm just staring
insane.
At her. I'm like, you want me to just take your car? And then I had a moment where I was like, Sophia, I have this fable that I loved. It's, let's say it's from the Eastern world. I don't know if it's Buddhist or whatever. And it's a story of a man is in a house and there's a flood coming and everybody's getting ready. And he's just like, God will save me. Okay. And so his neighbors come knock at the door. They're like, hey, we're heading out. We have the car. Come with us. Like, God's going to save me.
Mm.
Okay. Water starts coming in. He has to climb on the roof. There's another neighbor on a boat that comes by. Hey, come into the car. God's going to save me. Right. And the water, he's like about to drown, some air thing. Whatever. Third thing comes in. Hey, we'll help you. He's like, God's going to save me. And so he drowns. Goes to heaven, God is there, and he's
like,
yo,
the
God,
fuck's wrong with you?
God, you told me you were gonna save me, because he heard that God was gonna save him.
Is this man
him,
Italian?
Right? God.
God, then why don't you save me?
But please, you said you would save me, and now I'm here, and I am not saved. And he goes, I sent you three different ways, and you did, and I think that's also meeting life halfway. Okay, second formula to the magic. pay attention when life sends you things and take them, seize them. I practice erasing what I consider to be like normal. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I literally walk this world being like, anything can happen at any time, both miraculously blessing, both very challenging. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, somebody might hand me a pair of car keys.
And right now, there's five. When I arrived in LA like a month ago, you were like, oh, I need to sort out cars. Like, I need to make sure I have a car. And there's now four or five cars that you're literally jockeying.
Yeah.
It's wild.
I'm like, do I want the Tesla today?
It's
wild. Or
it's,
do I want the Subaru? Sorry, but I believe that when I came into this world and then the whole human experience, I think I like marked out the car service. I was like, cars will always be provided.
Cars will be provided. So I was like, sign on the dotted line.
My subscription, I had that car option. So like, there's a glitch, fix it.
I think it's also important to note that there's a lot of generosity at play in every which way in these situations that I see. You are incredibly generous and give a lot of generosity into the world and into your people, and it is received in return. Mm. Like, this isn't just luck. This is generosity being put out.
Hate it when people are like, you're so lucky.
I know, because this isn't just luck. This is generosity. This is magic. Mm. And I would like to pull a quote from Sophia that I found that I think really captures this, because I have watched and I have been one of these people. We have something that we call Sophia magic, and I know you resist it. I know, but your friends are like, this is Sophia magic. Aww. We go out at night and we're like, I don't know if we're going to get into the party. And we're like, it's okay. Sophia's here. We have Sophia magic. But I have also seen like your resistance to that, because you're like, this is world magic. It's not just mine. And I've also seen how people are like, oh, you're so lucky. And there's a recoil from that idea. And I think a beautiful thing that you wrote that I'd like to share. I was told I'm lucky again today, but I think I just believe in people and in the unexpected. I trust strangers more than I fear them. I speak my dreams and problems out loud and find that more than often, people want to help. I genuinely believe anything is possible. Luck is a practice to trust in life. Luck is a practice to trust in people. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
I think that's beautiful.
Thank you. To your point, yes, there's luck. Yes, there is being a young woman in a world and having, you know, access to, like, I'm educated, privileged, like, I get to all those circumstances. Yes, I'm very aware of them. They're in my gratitude journal every morning. And there is something to just, like, to quote our beloved NQ, you'll always find the evidence for what you choose to believe. Mm-hmm. So if I walk into a situation thinking people are bad, people don't want to help, this is not going to go well, something's like, I will find that evidence. Luck can't, it doesn't contain it all.
Yeah.
It's not just about luck. And the Sophia magic, the reason that I recoil when it's like branded under my name is like, to me, it's available. It's like this Wi-Fi that we all can connect to.
Yeah.
Also, when I like speak my problems and my dreams out loud, I'm also not taking any like expectation or, you know, if it matters to me, of course I'll be like, oh, I really hope this works out and da-da-da. Mm. But like, I'm just kind of like,
you're not entitled. I think that's a big difference. You identify what you want and what you hope for and what you believe is possible, but you're not like, I'm entitled to this and I deserve it, and if it doesn't happen, I'm gonna be butthurt about it.
Yeah.
And that's a big difference as well.
I think it's a really significant difference. Also, you gave a great shout out to another one of our core ingredients in this magic formula, which is generosity. Mm-hmm. And that has been such, I've been like really meditating on that recently. It's like, the more you give, the more you get. And I said what I said. I really believe that.
It's I agree.
The metaphor in my head is like, if we have a dinner party and everybody brings chips, but they're hoping there's going to be chicken.
Oh my God. You know, that's good.
I only want to bring a bag of chips because I don't want to buy a chicken. I don't want to buy a salad. I don't want to take time and make something. But I really hope that there's a strawberry shortcake.
Yeah.
Like,
that's okay, a perfect analogy.
If we all bring a pack of Doritos, we're going to be eating Doritos and we're all going to be hungry, versus like if we all bring and then we get to share. Like, that openness of, okay, I'm going to bring more. I'm going to give more. And then just, that's where there's also an ingredient of just absolute magic. Like, life can conspire in your favor.
Yeah.
And, but in order to do that, you kind of have to trust that it's going to work out. And I'm smiling because I'm thinking of my sister Hannah, who her and I have a like track record of getting into concerts, ranging from like a small local concert.
These stories
like,
are crazy.
No, like we got into the weekend at the SoFi Stadium, and I was in Topanga with a friend, and he just looked at me. He's like, "You won't get in," and I did, and she did too, and. The act of that was just showing up. Mm-hmm. And there's so many clutch moments in that story. Like at some point we're literally in front of these two security guards and they're like, "You cannot get in without a VIP pass." And then this car rolls up and these two guys hand out their passes and they go, "Hey girls, if you need VIP passes, take ours. We're leaving." Like that timing.
Yeah.
I can't make that up, but the timing works because we're there.
Yeah.
You know,
but also in your whole find the right human mm-hmm. philosophy, which is huge because I'm someone, and maybe it's like just my Canadian background, but if someone says no, I'm like, okay. And I walk away and I go home and I'm like, that's that. And it's a very like, don't ruffle feathers. Don't like upset the apple cart background. But I have observed how you really live your life by like, just talk to a different human. If you don't like the answer you're getting, hang up, call again, talk to a different human. Don't leave the stadium, wait around, be there and talk to some of the humans that come by.
Yeah.
Everything really does come down to humans, even the systems that are in place, even the corporations, even customer service.
Yeah.
Even if things seem so regimented, it actually is a matter of just finding a different human and you can get a different result.
Yeah. You know the way that people swipe on apps?
Yeah.
I just like for any given situation, if it doesn't work out, I'm like, swipe to the next, like the representative me, like I'll be like representative. And then like, literally I will know about 3 seconds in based on how the representative is talking to me.
Yeah.
I'll know if I'm like
wasting my time
mm-hmm. or if I need to just literally hang up and call back.
If you don't get a result from someone, you can find someone else and have a human interaction with them that will lead to good. Like that is the underlying belief. And I think we forget that. We forget that that's possible. And I really love what you've brought into my life of allowing your humanness to show in corporate situations. I think this is fucking so important to talk about because I do really think that in the, I don't know, in the Venice, California, we're all spiritual beings having an interaction with each other. It's very easy to talk like that. And then if I were to talk to friends who are like lawyers or finance people, they're going to be like, no, we're instructed on how we're supposed to send emails. Like we have clear, like there are structures in place that we are supposed to follow, but you do such a great job of bridging that. There's a funny story of recently Sophia was on a business call and she was out by a pool and we're watching her from inside on this important like negotiating business call and she's like fishing shit out of the pool and she's like we're like, is she gonna fall in? Is she gonna drop the phone? Like what's gonna happen? And we're like, what is she doing? Isn't she on like an important business call? And I brought it up to you after because it was really funny and we're like, oh Sophia. And you're like, yeah, I was saving a bee. And then like the woman on the other line that created like
A connection. I told her.
And a story.
Because she heard the water splashing and she's like, are you good? And I was like, I'm trying to save the bee out of the pool. And then she laughed. It's authenticity, really. In the same way that you're mentioning, you know, how do you show up in companies and all that? Like, I know my corporate background and that's what honestly was like choking me when I was there. I remember being in Paris and of course it's Paris. I walked by like 5 bakeries every morning to get to work and I would bring pastries every morning. And I was like trying to always be very enthusiastic. And at some point one of the founders called me and he's like, hey, so she's like, it's just a lot, you know, like you're a little bit like too happy right now, like this whole bringing croissants in the morning and did it. And I remember that was a pivotal moment
to me.
Yeah, but what I realized, I was like, oh, my warmth or my like, let's all have sugar together is deemed dangerous
to the way of
being. And I was like, that surely can't be true. The more we know each other and the more we understand each other as humans, the better the work
is going to be.
But I understand how for some individuals, you have to abide by the corporate culture because otherwise like you're jeopardizing something very significant in your life. And so that's where like, I think there's kind of two solutions to this. It's either top down where the corporate culture is rippling down towards authenticity, expression, being who you are, or it starts where you like start planting little seeds and within your teams, you like try to foster better communication.
Pockets of like...
Yeah. Like my emails are unhinged.
Yeah.
I use so many emojis.
I love them.
I am that person who's like, good morning.
Yeah.
Even just a simple thing like, hey, how are you?
Yeah.
The number of people that I see, even in like restaurants or, in any setting, and they're just like, hi, I'd like da da da, right? Yeah. Like, take a second. Look at the person in front of you. Be a human.
Yeah.
Acknowledge that in front of you, there's another person. And that if you actually genuinely give them a moment of connection and attention, you're doing something a little different than the mainstream like society that we have.
And magic can happen there.
That is where it unlocks magic to me.
This is important because I think, first of all, it's just the right thing to do as humans, to be human to one another. And no matter whether it's a person who's serving you at a cafe or a CEO, to treat people as fucking humans and to have connection. But it also unlocks opportunity and magic that isn't there when you just show up as a robot, which we're trained to do. It's no one's fault. Like in corporations, we're really trained to just fall into this like robotic way of being. Mm. And it has taken me like years to unlearn it. And I really love seeing how in being very yourself and very human, like things open up in the business world as well. And I think there's a lot, like, if your ROI is like, am I going to be successful? Is this going to forward my company? I believe yes, it will.
It's a longer game though. And I think that we also have to put it, you know, there is a backdrop of societally, especially in the Western world, where like you have to be, you know, you have to be a shark. Yeah. You have to pay attention because everybody's out to get you. So like know your what you want, negotiate hard, don't give too much because you'll get taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. Like that is a backdrop that I think has to be acknowledged to just better understand the context and then build from there. At the end of the day, everybody around me, to your point, ranging from like somebody who's working at a cafe to an Uber driver to the CEOs that I get to rub shoulders with, like everybody's just a human trying to do their best.
Yeah.
You unlock something when you relate to the person in front of you as a human. And I was it with you that we were talking about the metaphor of that movie, Everything Everywhere All at Once?
Yes.
Yeah. So in that movie, essentially, like, the characters can navigate into alternative universes and alternate realities. But in order to unlock that, like, matrix, they have to do something insane. Like, they have to, like, take a chopstick and snap it with their teeth. Yeah. Or they have to, like, lick a glue stick or something, right?
A weird dildo fight.
Yeah, exactly. Do a weird dildo fight. Doing something kind of, like, wacky becomes the gateway to...
Like creating a glitch in the matrix.
In the matrix. If you suddenly relate as a human and you just... throw in a little glimpse of authentic relating, you're creating a glitch in that interaction.
Yeah.
And like, I've snapped people out of their kind of like very robotic state by either asking a random ass question or also I have ADHD.
Yeah.
I say random shit all the time. There's a superpower in neurodivergence. Yeah. Wasn't there that show of like Love on the Spectrum or something? And like people were fascinated by these stories and these individuals who are having very different, again, quote unquote, conversations. And I'm like, yeah, because like in a lot of situations of neurodivergence, the brain isn't actually like opting into it. They're kind of like, well, this is what I'm thinking right now.
There's all these filters like removed. And
yeah, I don't have a lot of them.
Yeah.
And it's a yes and, like everything. Oh, that's a big one for me. Yes and.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm trying to look at my pantry of ingredients for the life magic thing. Yeah. And I'm like, the yes and as well. It's that our realities are our own. And I think the righteousness of trying to be like, I'm going to have full control and my way is the right way prevents a lot of like finding middle ground and getting to build together and letting people show up into your life or bring you blessings or next keys for the next thing. Mm. So there's something there as well of like always seeing everything as a spectrum.
Because it helps us bypass resistance. I think like
and it's binary. Yeah.
Yeah. And binary and like right and wrong and yes and no.
Yeah.
When you can apply the yes and, it helps you see there's more than one way to get to where you want to go. And sometimes you actually don't even know where you want to go. And the yes and keeps you open to all possibilities and to seeing the complexity of every situation and finding the magic in it.
Mm.
If we want to talk about more ingredients, let's also talk about, I want to talk about specifically people who are listening might be like, well, this sounds great for you. Sounds like you have a lot of magic that you call in. How the fuck do I do that? Mm-hmm. So you do have practices in your life that I think open you up to these moments of magic and wonderful things happening and all of the stories that you share that I'm like, wow, how does Sophia get herself in these incredible situations? There are things that you do.
Yeah.
You do your journaling, your manifestation practice. Can you walk us through, you write things down every mm-hmm. single morning. Mm-hmm. What does that look like?
I mean, that's very generous. I am a flawed human. There are mornings in which I do not do my routines.
No, stop it.
Spoiler alert.
I have convinced myself you do it every day.
I do it often, and I find a difference when I do it. Clearly, of course. Writing is definitely a solid practice for me. And I didn't actually fall into it from a place of like, I'm a manifest. I was just like, I need to empty my brain. I am such an overthinker. There's voices all the time. And I was like, I just need to put it to paper to almost like brain dump. Mm. I do have the 5-minute gratitude journal, mm-hmm. you know, plugging that in. The 5-minute journal is great because it literally just goes like, what are you grateful for? 3 things. What would make today great? 3 things. Kind of a mantra or a daily mantra. And then the second part is reflecting on the day before, or mm-hmm. if you do it at night, reflecting on that day. So yeah, writing, meditation.
You write down like sometimes things that you want to have happen, right? Like yeah. I have heard the tale of you writing down romance and having that come into fruition.
Oh yeah, that story is kind of crazy. It's true. You know, it's funny because when I write what I want, oftentimes I'm in a place of frustration. So the story specifically in the quick way is I'm in New York. I'm kind of trying to get over a heartbreak. And I was like, I'm in New York. This is a frivolous city. I should have a one night stand with a beautiful human, blah, blah.
Wait. But we need to back up and say you wrote down also that you wanted to have something around music.
Oh, I wrote
and
a very
you
specific
wrote
list.
Down the that name? You wanted to have a Matt-like romance based on, long story short, a friend named Matt who had talked to you about.
He had come up to a partner of his, and when in writing, I was like, and I want the guy to come talk to me, and I want there to be music, and I want there to be fun, playful energy and games. In writing, I want him to come up to me. A fear kicked in where I was like, men don't do that these days, right? Like men don't come up to women because me too, because all the things. And I remembered a friend named Matt who had gone to talk to his girlfriend. And I was like, I want that Matt energy.
And what happens when you go to the lobby bar and start playing the piano?
Well, again, like, and that is the following your heart. I'm walking back from West Village to Soho, and in the street, I'm like, I actually want to go play music. I want to go to Hotel Chelsea and play piano. Mm-hmm. I'll fast forward the whole story, but a Matt walked up to me.
Literally a Matt. She fucking manifested a Matt.
Okay, he's coming up to me. He's like, we sing together. He asked me to play a song. And then I'm like, hey, he's like, what's your name? I'm like, I'm Sophia. And he goes, I'm Matt. And in that moment, I was like,
witchcraft and wizardry.
I was like, bro, what? Okay.
No, it's so specific.
Yeah.
And okay, this is the other thing, because I used to think that manifesting was like just kind of like woo-woo bullshit. And what I have really in the past probably 3 years of doing this podcast come to learn, it's not. It is absolutely a map that you can follow mm-hmm. towards what you really want. Mm-hmm. Because if you hadn't written down music mm-hmm. in this romantic encounter that you were manifesting, you might not have had that mental cue to, no, I want to go play that piano. Well, like it helps us take action to create things that we want to have happen.
There's two really strong things coming up for me on this one. There's what you said about entitlement. My relationship to manifesting is, I'm actually very loose about it. Mm. I'll notice that I want something or I'm like, oh, that would be nice. And then I like write it down for reference. And then I kind of, it's like if you place an Amazon order and then you forget about it. You don't really know when the delivery date's going to be. Yeah. So you kind of forget. Yeah, and then you're like, oh, that thing that I ordered, right? So there's like, again, no entitlement. Mm-hmm. Like with New York, what that story, to use it as reference, I went the whole week like, oh, why am I not meeting anybody? I just want to have a quick fun. Like there's men everywhere in New York, blah, blah. And then I had to just be like, you know what? It's not going to happen
release
this trip.
It, yeah.
Release it. Went to dinner with a friend, had a good time. And in that release, I'm like, oh, what do I want right now? I wanted to play music. That's the other thing. Go towards what you want.
Well, that's what I mean. I don't think you should walk through life like so expectant of like entitlement or anything like that. But I do think that in knowing what you ultimately want and writing it down and speaking it out loud, the magic comes in because we do these little actions, maybe even subconsciously towards putting ourselves in those environments where we can get those things.
Yeah.
When you're like, I want cars. You're offering to drive friends to airports.
Yeah.
You're offering to help to putting your own energy out there so that a similar energy can be met.
Yeah. My car abundance pyramid scheme is drive your friends to the airport.
No, and it's
and then they give you their cars
working.
While they're away. And then you have 4 cars outside. But that is, again, I love that you thank you for paying attention to that. It's not just like sit on my couch with my quartz crystals.
The point is you can let go of the outcome, but you can't be passive.
Yeah. And you meet life halfway. I really believe in that. I'm very actually, it's interesting. Like I'm actually pretty allergic. Like I get a very counter reaction when something's too desperate, unless it's direct. Mm-hmm. I do believe in, if you're going to have an ask to somebody, be very clear and direct and not entitled, but just kind. I've had people come to me and I know what they want, but they're like tiptoeing around it. And I'm like, just tell me what you want.
Yeah. But, and that's easier, not desperation. You know? That's directness. That's asking for what you need. That's communication. That's fine.
Yeah.
It's when it's, desperation is a bad energy. I've been in it and I don't like it.
I don't think it's necessarily bad. I think it is very human. Mm-hmm. And I think that it is just, it's craving. You know, it's really just like, oh, I want that. And I have a lot of grace for it because I know that feeling. Mm-hmm. I know that feeling a lot. And definitely in my life, like all the stories that have unfolded of leading me things that I was like, whoa, I really wanted that. And it's kind of like magically appeared. It happens when I stop, when I forget about it. When I talk about manifesting, like I can absolutely go spiritual with you on this one. I can talk about all the techniques and, you know, and it's interesting because in life you can take so many lenses. You can go spiritual. You can go like literally neuroscience. Like you can look at it from a like metaphysical standpoint of we're only starting to understand energy and the power of it and things like that. But I'm going to drop another fable. There's this fable of the fisherman and it's like he goes to a stream and there's like salmon jumping up the stream and he wants a salmon, obviously. And so the act of life is finding that balanced position where if you're too loose with your hand, if you're just like, oh, whatever, I don't care at all, fish slips out. If you're too clenched, it slips out of your hand. But if you're just kind of like, huh, I'm going to just rest and have a grip. And when it lands, it lands.
I wrote a poem about that kind of with sand of how love, like I held you in my hand like sand, but the tighter my grip, the more of you I let slip.
Yeah.
Because I was holding on to love so tight. It was just squeezing right out of my hand and I couldn't keep it because the hold was too tight and it was suffocating.
I hear that. My relationship to writing, I always wrote as a kid. Writing is a craft for me. However, it was my grounding pillar in 2019. In the hardest of my years, it was there to completely, like, it was an anchor into something deeper. Mm-hmm. I had to use it as my like spiritual soil. So I was writing a lot.
It's beautiful.
Later on, when I started filling my life with other things, I was like, oh, I still need to practice to like ground me. So that's when the gratitude came in, right? I was like, okay, I'm going to just like pay attention to all that I have so that I don't fall into this like cycle of the more like, but I'll be happy when I'll get this. And that is like, no, let me start my day by being like, wow, I'm really grateful for a lot of things in my life. And I get to count my blessings. Then more recently, I was like, oh, wow, I'm really in my body. In my head. And I want to get more into my body. So I tried EFT tapping and I saw some insane results. Do I tap every day? No. But do I consider it a tool that has helped me move forward and that I hope to, at times I know that I can go lean on? Yes. You know, meditation. I know that I used to be very extreme. It's like if I meditate, I must meditate every day. And if I didn't, I would like be mad at myself and I would be like, oh, I'm not disciplined. And like, I think I've become pretty lenient with it. I'm like, just try something. Do your best. Yeah. I wake up certain mornings. I'm like, not today.
I just had this great conversation with NQ, the artist that we work with when we were in Mexico. And we were talking about meditation and how he's like gone all in on meditation and for years done it twice a day. And then recently like wasn't meditating at all. And then now he's back into it. And we kind of landed on the fact that when anyone forces themselves to do a practice, you lose the, like the gratitude you have for the practice. You lose the magic.
It becomes dogmatic.
And as soon as you allow yourself the break to remember why it was meaningful to you, you want to do it instead of have to do it. And I think the wanting, all of these practices, all of the things that we are talking about today, I think like knowing that we get to do them, not that we have to do them, to actively choose every day the life that you want. You're not obligated to do this shit, but you can choose to do it. And you can choose to surround yourself with a life of magic and of interacting with people and of gratitude and of meditation, of whatever feels good to you.
I really resonate with that. Of course, like there's days where I'm like, I don't want to freaking meditate. And then if I can in that moment just be like, okay, so there's clearly a significant difference when I meditate or not. And I can like talk myself into being grateful for it and be like, maybe today, instead of meditating 20 minutes, I'm just going to do five. And I'll set five. And then when the timer hits, I'm like, this is chill. I'm going to do another five, you know? So I don't see it as like a set formula. I think that, and it's again, the same for life. Like in terms of magic, it's not so much a set thing of like you need this much of this and this. It's like, be yourself.
Yeah.
Be human. Life is neutral. Mm. Life is really neutral, and it can go in the way that you bring into, like,
it's,
you
know, your perception that adds.
Yeah. So great things can happen and terrible things can happen. Yeah. But like, do your best to go towards the great things. Give it a chance. Like, give it a chance to for something to happen. To use a concert analogy, when my friend in Topanga was like, you're not going to get in, I was like, one thing I know for sure is if I don't go there, I'm nothing not going to get in.
Yeah.
Like, I'm already at a no. Yeah. I'm not there now. Yeah, so if I want to, the next thing I can do is physically bring myself to the venue.
If it doesn't work out, you have a really funny story and memory with your sister at the time you tried to get into a concert. Like, it's the inaction will keep you exactly where you are. Mm-hmm. And if you're happy with where you are, then that's wonderful.
Yeah.
But if there's somewhere else you want to be, take the action and it will result in something.
Yeah.
And even if it's not, it's like releasing the outcome, it's still going to be something.
Right. It's always in every single moment. It's like, what is one step closer to just the outcome that you're looking for?
Yeah. Life is a game of inches, but it can also, you can cover miles.
Did you just make that up? Life is a game of inches.
No, that's definitely someone's.
Okay, I was like, that's definitely someone's. I was like, first of all, take a second to land that. Life is a game of inches.
It is a game of inches, but every inch you take could transform very quickly and easily into a mile.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll speed ahead, and sometimes you're just a few inches ahead, but you're still ahead.
And I think that's where the magic to me trickles in. It's like, life is a game of inches, and it's also just a game of humans. It's, it's like, and if you leave endless possibility to both of those realities, and you find the balance between paying attention and being aware of what is, and also
the possibility
leaning towards what you wish to
be. That's a perfect balance.
Then oftentimes it works out. When I'm like disconnected from my magic, a thing that helps me is sending really loving messages to friends.
Yeah.
Or like thinking of a situation or somebody that did something that has significantly impacted or changed my life.
100%. And also sending a message. Reading or re-listening to beautiful messages you've received from friends. Yeah. If I'm in a bad funk and I'm feeling like unloved, uncared about, isolated, unhappy, and I go back and revisit something that meant a lot to me that someone wrote me or voice messaged me, it will change everything.
Yeah.
And it is just like, let's take these fucking fictions and replace them with a fact.
Yes.
You are loved. Get and you are understood. And all of these things. We are unreliable narrators. It's true. And if you want to receive magic, you also need to put magic into the world. And we all get to do that and can do that. And I want to end on just one final message. Really, right now, if you're listening to this and like, wow, like there's so much magic that's been discussed. I've never received all of that. I don't relate to this. This doesn't resonate. You might not be paying attention and you might not be noticing. I think wonderful things happen to us every single day.
Daily
and
miracles.
It's very easy to skip over that, to gloss over that, and to not recognize the miracles that are happening all around us. And paying attention and noticing them and feeling gratitude for them is the first step.
Yeah.
And as soon as you start to cultivate that practice of noticing when good things happen and not just the human brain default to notice bad things that are happening, they will multiply and amplify, and your base level will become that of good things happen to me.
Absolutely.
And more good things will come in because you're coming now from a place of abundance where you can create more good for other people because you have more to give because you're surrounded by good. Like, it really is just this never-ending circle jerk of goodness. It's wonderful. I'll use a better metaphor. It is a waterfall.
The more good you give, the more good you get.
Exactly. And so you've also written about how you have to look for micro miracles, and the more you search, the more you find them.
Yes.
It's all possible. And thank you so much for showing me so much of the magic that you have cultivated in your life. It honestly has changed my life.
Yeah, I receive that. And I like literally toss it right back at you, because choosing the people that you're around, like, I see so much magic around you and in the way that you navigate your life. And like, whenever I'm like with you out in the world, I'm like, we double teaming. Like, you know, your openness and your curiosity for the world, the way that you pay attention and that you write about it and that you like have an artist's view on the world. And I think that's also a huge part of this. So thank you for sharing it back with me, because we get to amplify it together.
I always love to ask our guests and friends, what is one thing you wish you'd learned in school?
Oh.
Probably not parallelograms.
Definitely not Pythagoras theorem. I've never used that guy ever. I wish I had learned that my differences were actually going to become my superpower and the things that helped me connect to others in the world. My school environment was so starkly from like open hippie alternative school to like rigid French academic. Mm-hmm. And just because it so happens that the French was a second part, I actually tried to learn how to fit in at all cost.
Yeah.
And I wish I had learned just the importance of like finding, knowing yourself mm-hmm. as early as possible and knowing that like oftentimes your quirks, your differences, the things that make you like stand out are what people appreciate about you most and what makes you like, what gives you your uniqueness.
Yeah, they are a superpower. I love your quirks. I love the things that make you you. Aww, I love you. Thank you so much. Too. There you have it, friends. Thanks for listening, and make sure you're following along on Instagram at Teach Me How to Adult Media and on TikTok at Teach Me How to Adult. If you like what you heard today, it would mean so much if you would subscribe and leave a comment or a rating. It really helps us grow the show. And if something in this episode really resonated, text it to your friends or screenshot it and share it on social. Wherever you are in your adulting journey, just remember you're not alone. My DMs are always open and I would love to hear from you. So hit me up with any topics or guests that you would like to hear about. See you next time. Bye!